race you to the top of the morning.
Yes, Race to the Top is not something that President Obama pulled from the Broadway musical The Secret Garden, but it is an educational program that wagers $4 billion and offers it to states if they can come up with programs that are entrepreneurial enough, innovative enough to match the kind of radical solutions that President Barack Obama called for in educational reform during the campaign. And it's run by Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education. Joining us to talk about this methodology and what the contest actually entails is Beth Fertig, education reporter for member station WNYC in New York, author of the new book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? Three Students and a Mayor Put Our Schools to the Test. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
And Jeannie Allen is president of the Center for Education Reform. She joins us from Washington, D.C. Jeannie, good morning.
Good morning.
So Beth, how does this contest work? And as an educational reform mechanism, what do you make of it?
Well, what it's doing is it's encouraging key reforms that are favored by the Obama administration so that the states will be rewarded with hundreds of millions of dollars if they're big states like New York or California, maybe 20, 40 million for smaller states if they plan to enact certain reforms. And those are by order of this is how the Obama administration sums them up. They have to be improving their standards and assessments to get students ready for college.
So measurements, so it's
right.
Kind of the No Child Left Behind sort of idea.
Effective educators. They want effective teachers and ways of measuring that. They want data systems to support student achievement, and they want turnarounds of low-performing schools. And then what they do is they have a point system. When the state applies, they can get a maximum of 500 points. And when you look at the eligibility guidelines and where the points are, you really see what their priorities are. For example, the whole section on how to come up with great teachers and leaders is worth 138 points, which is the biggest chunk of those 500 points. And specifically, they would give 58 points to improving teacher effectiveness based on performance, which is where you get into
How do you determine student achievement?
Then they also have a big chunk for turning around failing schools. That would get 40 points. And then another big chunk is for charter schools. That gets 40 points. So you can see what their priorities are and the policies that they're favoring in this approach.
Speaking of favoring, are certain states, in terms of the way they fund education or the way they manage education, favored in this contest, more likely to win than others?
Well, the Obama administration officially says that everyone's got a chance to apply. But when you look at the landscape out there, for example, last week, President Obama went to Wisconsin to praise that state for getting rid of what's called a data firewall, a law that limits the use of student achievement in measuring teacher effectiveness. California also got rid of such a law, and the Obama administration praised them. But New York continues to have a law banning the use of student test scores in determining teacher tenure. So right away, that seems to disqualify New York, although there's a lot of arguments here about that.
Well, Jeannie Allen, so $4 billion is put on the table, encourages states to come up with radical new programs. The money is awarded, the programs succeed and are generalized throughout the country. What's wrong with a program like that?
Oh, don't get me wrong. These are the things that make education reformers swoon, John. Charter schools, providing more autonomy, evaluating teachers, turning around and hopefully closing failing schools. This is the menu. This is the portfolio that we think turn around schools. The problem is, and early indications from states suggest, that there's a lot of gaming going on. That in the race to the top, some of our states have not done the training they need to do and don't plan to, but they plan and they've already put tons of money to writing really beautiful applications. And I've been in D.C. through now four administrations watching education sort of like baking a cake, and I've seen way too many times where great intention programs like this, where the federal government and the president is really playing out what is his natural role. And Beth summarized the program great. These are reforms that really can work for kids. But that, unfortunately, we are boosting everyone's hopes over a program to encourage states to do things that they already can do now, and that many of them, if you look at the changes in the new regulations and you look at some of their plans, intend to do, frankly, with a little less gusto than you'd expect in a race. So When you look, for example, at the stuff having to do with teachers, we all know that teachers next to families are the best indicator of whether a child is going to succeed or fail.
Okay.
Jeannie, I have to ask you, you know, we just talked yesterday with some people from Michigan where they're intending to cut the educational budget by even more. We spoke to a teacher who said she may get a class size of 30 students, and they said the Detroit public schools are saying, bring it on, what does it matter at this point? Our problems are so high. It seems to me like this kind of program, this race to the top contest, couldn't be further down on the priority list for some of these school systems, which are in terrible crisis right now.
Well, that's right, and when you look at Celeste, what they're doing in terms of cutting those funds, instead of looking at great successful schools and building them up, they're worrying about spending money on schools that have long failed our kids, and that's one of the big issues. Is
right.
Michigan going to apply and get money and put it into the same systems where people are escaping school systems, or are they going to put it against reforms that will make a difference in less than a generation for kids?
Okay, Jeannie Allen is president of the Center for Education Reform, describing the tension there between innovation and simply operating. Beth Fertig, give us a last word here.
Well, I would just say that part of the application also says that the states have to get buy-in from their local districts. And so what you're pointing out in Michigan, if the school districts are starving and they don't want all the money taken away from them and put into charter schools, for example, you're going to have to get the buy-in of these local districts, and that's going to be pretty difficult, too.
And, of course, there's a question of what about the loser schools? I mean, that's sort of the sad part. Beth Fertig, education reporter for member station WNYC in New York, author of the new book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? It's the race to the top, the Barack Obama administration's new program to encourage education reform.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.